This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
This is like what, the Happily Alive instead of the Grateful Dead?
Fish, I think, is what we call this band, right?
But with an F.
Yes, that's right.
Sneaky Snake.
Oh, there it is. It is. It's basically fish, but a snake.
I'm a snake.
Yeah, yeah. I'm a snake.
That might be the guy knocking on your door, dude.
Could be. Yeah, absolutely. If he comes back today, I swear.
You gotta bring him in and have a conversation.
Dude, we have told you now 8 times. Stop showing up to our house. Nobody wants you here, man.
Yeah. A lot to dive into baseball-wise, because Caglione destroyed a Cy Young winner last night.
How about that last night? That's the baseball story of the day. Let's go. Clayton Kershaw.
Tell you what, on base 4 times, Mr. Caglione. Single, double.
You think anybody in the Royals lineup could hit Kershaw right now?
Yeah, that's what you
do. Yes or no? Bobby could.
Yeah, Garcia.
Yeah, Garcia's playing well.
Heck yeah, I like
awesome. I like him, man.
And Freddie Fermin
with a big single yesterday.
Ferminator.
Anybody else? You think anybody else could hit Clayton Kershaw?
I will say real quickly with the Royals, Bueller. I do love the fact that Bobby Witt Jr. gets it. Because I don't know if you caught the audio last night, if you were already asleep after the game when he hit, which I don't blame anybody for that. But after they splashed Freddie, he said, make sure you thank the fans, they stuck it out.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Or they showed up. I'm like, damn, Bobby. Stop being great. Yeah. Like, acknowledge me. Yes, and they will love you.
Mm-hmm.
And Freddie Fermin had a great, like, just a fun interview at the end of the game. He's like, thank you, fans. Thank you, everybody, for coming out. I felt really good when they were chanting Freddie. It gave me a little extra juice. I mean, he tagged that guy out at third with that quick throw down to third, then hits the game-winning RBI. Which
yeah, that quick throw down to third was crazy, man. That was great. That was awesome. Like, done, out. Wow, okay. Let's go. Next inning.
Yeah, give Sal a week and let Freddie hit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a hyperbolic take, but Sal's struggling.
Boy, he is struggling. I mean, he had a little duck snort last night, whoop-de-doo.
I mean, that was, yeah. Duck fart.
Struggling.
Yeah.
I mean, I was close, and if that thing went to the 12th inning, both teams got to use it and hit off a tee going forward because, neither team could buy a hit. That's how bad it is, man. Like, the Rockies and Royals yesterday, God, they did not put on a hitting display, did they?
But maybe that little walk-off win is a little jolt they need.
Yeah.
That's 2 in a row. One more, it's a winning streak.
Uh-huh.
Go sweep Colorado. I don't care if you win every game, 2-1, sweep them. Just stay relevant. 10-14. We'll dive into the Royals. Plus, we'll get into Caglione as well because your boy, the ultimate fanboy of Caglione, has to talk about it because it was Kershaw. I don't care. It was Kershaw. Come on. It was lefty-lefty.
Yeah,
lefty-lefty.
Yeah.
Lefty-lefty.
2 hits off of Kershaw.
Yeah. On base 4 times. He was walked and hit by a pitch as well. But there was a question we saw yesterday. Speaking of the NFL draft, you know, that is just right around the corner.
Mm-hmm.
It is tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
April 24th at the Landing in Liberty, starting at 6 p.m. Bink and Unicero. They'll be in studio tomorrow for a full hour to kind of have the pre-draft prep there,
mm-hmm.
the mocks of the mocks. But Chris and Unicero broadcasting live at the Landing in Liberty for the first round. The draft contest is back. $965 cash prize. Autographed Juan Taylor helmet is a prize as well. 1 point for player drafted in the first round. 3 points. If you get the right player on the right team, and your sheet must be turned in prior to Steven Inspector, the cheese curd lord, prior to the first pick on the clock, and the entire fan staff will be in attendance. But there was not necessarily like a poll question, but like kind of. It said, if you could trade the first round pick for any of these guys, who would you do it for? Because there are players that are linked to trades before the draft. Because all we saw yesterday was the same smoke and hogwash. A lot of teams going to be trading. This is going to be an active draft. We're getting a lot of phone calls about if we want to trade out of picks. Sounds like a lot of GMs ready for a draft. Bunch of gibberish.
Yeah, but a bunch of lies and misinformation.
Get us to Thursday. But some of the names of the players that are in there, so I don't know where you're, you know, what your team, if you're the Chiefs 31 pick overall.
Which is basically a useless pick.
Yeah.
But here's what it is. They had the odds of the players that are going to be traded. We kind of went through those yesterday. I'm asking you guys, if you could trade the Chiefs' first round pick for any of these guys on that list that are dedicated trade players, who are they going to be? You've got Jaire Alexander, Mark Andrews, Trey Hendrickson, Jalen Ramsey, Kirk Cousins, Anthony Richardson, Dallas Goedert, Will Levis, DeAndre Swift, Kayvon Thibodeau, Breece Hall, Tyreek Hill, and Micah Parsons. Tyreek Hill, by the way, is probably going to need a job after the NFL. The stuff that's going on with him right now, my God. I mean, more stuff with the kid is being done down there in Miami. Like, that's just a bad dude
Wasn't
right
there,
now,
like, video
man.
That he, like, hanging over the balcony?
Yeah, exactly. Like, not good stuff. More stuff came out today. That's kind of what I was thinking as well, you know, but more stuff coming out today about him and all this kind of, like, this guy's going to be trying to, he's going to need to work for the rest of his life to pay for a lot of this stuff. So he's off the list. I wouldn't touch Tyreek Hill if he was the last wide receiver on planet Earth at this point in time, because he's got other things that he needs to deal with.
34.5-inch pole.
So of that list, if I could say you could trade the first round pick, 31 overall, for one of those guys on the list, who would be your top target on that list? Because I think we may all lean in the same direction, but I think we could all make a case for somebody else. Micah Parsons would be the answer for me on that list. I think he's the biggest game changer. He's younger than everybody else. I do like Trey Hendrickson a lot on that list, but I think Micah Parsons is the biggest game wrecker, game changer, game, you know, destroyer that we could see on that entire list of guys that are going to be available when we get to the NFL draft on Thursday night of possible trades. And I know the Dallas Cowboys wouldn't trade Micah Parsons for number 31 overall, but you're looking at that list of guys that are going to be moved. Micah Parsons to me is the most desirable, the guy who I think fits the Chiefs the best on that list.
Nope.
Really? Not for you?
Mm-mm.
Wow. Okay, who would it be then?
What did we talk about all offseason?
What did we talk about all offseason?
I mean, you want a dynamic running back.
Okay.
There's one
we
on that list.
We talked about a pass rush, too. Are you talking about Breece Hall?
Yeah.
I think Breece Hall's a nice player.
I think Breece
Hall
would be
that call.
Awesome in this system.
Yeah, get him out of the Jets.
Good. Right, yeah, get him out of there.
Yeah.
You know, I think he and Andy Reid's offense would be electric. He gives me a little bit of He gives me a little bit, of Le'Veon Bell vibes, like a patient runner. Come on, you can't say
he was a total jerk here.
I'm not talking about when he was here. I'm talking about when he was destroying us in the playoffs, being a patient runner, but also electric. Like, yeah, Breece Hall had a bad year last year, according to some.
Yeah, don't judge anything last year about the Jets.
That year before, like, I'm pretty sure, Mac, you did the fantasy football show on Sundays. Like, Breece Hall was like a top 7 average pick when it came to ADP because of what he could do and how he could change a game and the abilities he had at running back. That's what you want in this backfield, is somebody like that. Then let's say you trade your first round pick for Breece Hall, and then you get that, I don't know, you don't have any picks in the 4th, 5th, or 6th round. You have 3 in the 7th. You have 2 in the 3rd, 1 in the 2nd. You'd have 4 picks basically. 3 picks. You don't have to take that running back. You don't have to go where everybody, like, you know what they always say when everybody's betting on like someone to do something, take the opposite approach.
Right.
If the running back class is deep, maybe it's not NFL deep. You don't have to worry about it. So then when all of a sudden we look back in like 2 years, you're like, man, remember when there was like 15 to 20 running backs? 3 of them are actually still in the league today.
Right.
You're like, okay, well, glad we didn't take the bait. Breece Hall to me in this offense with Andy Reid and like that offensive line, especially that interior offensive line that you've locked up. Trust me, I'm with you on Micah Parsons. That guy
I like the Breece Hall one. I think that's a hell of a call there, Dusty, because he does fit a need. He's a really good player. He's kind of a player that I've always kind of, I don't want to use the term coveted from afar because that sounds stupid, but one of those players that you watch on another team, you're like, damn, if there's ever an opportunity where we could get that guy on our team, I'd like to have him here, like Stephen Kwan for the Indians. Like, that's a guy that I look at all the time and I go, damn, I wish we had that guy on our team. I like watching him play baseball. He's just a good player, right? Mm. That's the same thing for Breece Hall. You kind of keep him in the back of your mind because he's always played for the Jets and kind of been in a bad situation, but the potential has always been there. And I think a lot of guys in the NFL get traded to teams or signed by teams because teams saw potential in them around draft time or early on in their career. And they're like, I can realize that talent. It's what a guy like Kadopius Toney gets opportunity after opportunity because teams see he claims he's not retiring from the NFL
Joker.
Now. But people look at him and they're like, okay, that's a guy that's got talent. I can realize that talent. I can realize that potential.
Oh, yeah.
And then nobody ever does because guys who don't realize their potential, that's internal. That's on them. For the most part, no coach is going to be able to get that out of them. If they don't want to do it, they're not going to want to do it. That's Kadropius Toney. I think Breece Hall is a guy, just from everything that I've seen him on the field, like, he wants to be in a good situation. I think that's a guy that's willing to have a change of scenery and come in and work his ass off and be a really good football
player.
He's in
the Jets organization.
That's right. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's hard to judge somebody whether or not they're good at what they do if they're in a bad organization, if they don't get the support from their company or they don't get the support from their team or they don't get the support from their teammates or things of that nature.
Saquon Barkley.
Right, exactly.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Like, you can
Sam Darnold.
Right. Yeah. Go through the list of guys. And that's why I always look at these quarterbacks that are drafted. They go, that guy's a bust. Is he, or did the team just fail him? Because a lot of the times, it's 50% of the time, the team fails these guys, right? They absolutely do. They fail these players all the time. Breece Hall is one of those guys who's just been in a really crappy situation because he's played for the Jets and had to deal with the Jets and everything that goes along with the Jets. I mean, so, like, that's a guy, hell yeah. If you said 31 overall for Breece Hall, I would probably give up that pick for Breece Hall.
I don't know. I'm kind of out on Breece Hall. I have him on my I have him on my dynasty fantasy football team. And yeah, I am biased. I just don't think he's lived up to what he's been.
He's played for the Jets.
Other guys have played for bad teams and have run for 1,000 yards. Anyway, 1,000 yard rushing season. He struggled with health. Braylon Allen, a rookie last season, kind of took over his spot as the RB1.
What if I told you that Breece Hall would be 2017 Kareem Hunt or 2018?
Yeah, then I'm in.
I guess it'd be 17.
Yeah, 17 was a
rookie.
Yeah,
his rookie. They were drafted together, him and Mahomes. Mahomes obviously set. So if he was 2017 Kareem Hunt in this offense, which we know what that offense was when they had a Kareem Hunt rolling.
I'd be in on that.
Yeah, because he's the type of running back we've wanted here in Kansas City.
Oh, yeah.
Since that departure.
It's always been a ground and pound, and guys just throw their body at everything. You want that elusive guy. Like, we were talking yesterday with Matt McMullen, and he kept talking about the Samaje Perine replacement type of guy. Like, Breece Hall could potentially be guy, Jerick McKinnon type of guy that we need in this backfield right now. Like, I'm really intrigued by the potential of adding him in. Obviously, we're not trading the first pick overall or the 31st pick overall for a running back. It's just a conversation that we're having.
Yeah.
But you, sometimes you have to reset that back because people listen and they go, you're a moron. You would trade that. Nobody said that.
Or they're locked in from six and still think we're a moron.
Yeah, wearing a hard hat, right? But I and your barbed wire tattoo. But I think what we're looking at is a situation where the Chiefs could really benefit from him. And I think he could benefit potentially from a change of scenery as well, and being in an organization that's run by adults.
Yeah. I mean, again, hypothetically speaking, Mike could be sick. I mean, but the contract wise, if we have to get into semantics,
right? Yeah.
Like, which we're not, we're just trading picks.
It's not my problem.
Yeah.
That's them to deal with. If they make the trade and they sign a player, they know that they can afford it. And the way that they've managed the cap here in Kansas City, all you capologists out there, just kind of take a back seat. They got this thing on lockdown. It's pretty good. Don't worry about the contracts. It's not our concern. They're the team. They're going to pay for it. We don't worry about contracts for anybody else in the world. We shouldn't worry about them for NFL players either. Mark Andrews is another name on that list that we kind of talked about yesterday when we were going through this a little bit. And then all of a sudden, I'm seeing Mark Andrews commercials everywhere last night, like for USAA, like a Mark Andrews.
USAA.
And then he was in the news yesterday. He was talking about the drop two-point conversion again. His gloves were wet. Maybe he should have taken his gloves off and all this kind of stuff. It seems like it's going to be difficult for Mark Andrews to play again in Baltimore with all that vitriol that he got from those fans last year. And that could be another one that you look at and you say, okay, he's a little bit older, but maybe he's the guy that can kind of be your bridge if you're looking for the bridge from Travis Kelce to whoever potentially could be the next tight end on this team. And so you brought him up yesterday, and I thought that was a pretty good one as well.
Speaking of pretty good ones as well, Von Miller was on a podcast yesterday or the day before,
and said that the draft class that he was in is undoubtedly, without a doubt, obviously, the best NFL draft ever. 2011. It's good. Like, real good. But I don't know if it's 2017 good.
It's not 1983 good.
Yeah. I forget which draft all the receivers went in, the Odell Beckham Jr. draft, because that was like one of the, I think that might have been the greatest wide receiver draft of all time. But in the 2011 draft that Von Miller claims is the best draft he's ever seen in the history of the NFL draft, number one overall that year was Cam Newton. Von Miller went second.
Mm-hmm.
Marcell Dareus went third. Okay. I mean, decent. AJ Green, stud. I didn't know he was in that draft and already out of the league for like 5 years. Patrick Peterson in that draft, Hall of Famer. Julio Jones in that draft, Hall of Famer. Alden Smith would have been Hall of Famer. Jake Locker, you remember him, don't you, Mac? Tyron Smith, Blaine Gabbert, J.J. Watts in that draft, Mike Pouncey in that draft. So a lot of big names. Cam Jordan was in that draft as well. And then you go to the
Jonathan Baldwin.
Oh, poor guy. But I mean, you look at the 2017 draft, and I'll just go one through 12. Myles Garrett, Mitchell Trubisky, Solomon Thomas, Leonard Fournette, Corey Davis, Jamal Adams, Mike Williams, Christian McCaffrey, John Ross, Patrick Mahomes, Marshawn Lattimore, Deshaun Watson. Those were the first 12 picks of the draft. Now, don't look at where they are now, which, I mean, you can do a little bit of that. But, I mean, like, that draft class, that was loaded. And to think that, hilarious, the Bears took Mitchell Trubisky at the number 2 overall pick and moved up to get him. But, I mean, a lot of big names in that draft as well.
There's no draft better than 1983.
Is that
though.
The Marino?
Yeah, John Elway number 1, Eric Dickerson number 2. Okay, those are your top 2 picks.
Stop
right there.
Stop talking.
John Elway, Eric Dickerson, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer. Pick 6 overall, Jim Covert, Hall of Famer, offensive tackle, Chicago Bears. Number 9 overall, Bruce Matthews, offensive tackle, Hall of Famer. Number 14 overall, Jim Kelly, Hall of Famer. I mean, you go down the list of people that were drafted in that draft. Dan Marino, Hall of Famer at 27. Darryl Green, Hall of Famer, drafted at number 28. Henry Ellard was in that draft as well, a perennial Pro Bowler. That 1983 draft produced Roger Craig. I mean, you're now getting into the second round. Albert Lewis in the third round pick, a perennial Pro Bowler. Dave Duerson, a perennial Pro Bowler in the third round that year. Like, that was a draft that people will look back and go, okay, that's how you build your organization. I know it's one that a lot of Chiefs fans look back and get pissed because we took Todd Blackledge that year instead of going out there and drafting, you know, one of the great quarterbacks that were on the list. But the only quarterback that was really off the board at that point in time for the Chiefs was John Elway. And with that 7th pick, they took Todd Blackledge. They took him over Jim Kelly. They took him over Dan Marino. The Royals actually have done a better job of drafting quarterbacks up until this point of time than the Kansas City Chiefs have, because the Royals drafted John Elway. The Royals drafted Dan Marino. And the Royals drafted, there was a quarterback from West Virginia back in the day, Pat somebody or other, that the Royals drafted as well. And he was, you know, on the list. And you're looking at that pre-Patrick Mahomes going, the Royals have done a much better job at drafting quarterbacks than the Kansas City Chiefs had done at drafting quarterbacks. And that's not a joke. I mean, that's the truth. The Royals drafted Marino. They drafted Elway. They drafted, God, I can't remember that kid's name that was playing quarterback for West Virginia for all those years. But they had a hell of a track record going right now. So I think you look at that 1983 draft, and we can ask Binkley this. I'm sure he's, you know, got something in his mind as well about what the best draft is. But when you produce that many Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the first, you know, 14 picks or whatever it was, that sets you apart from everybody else. It's hard to beat that 1983 draft.
Pat White.
Yeah, that was the guy. Yes. Yeah.
He was good. Because a lot of people would say that, and I don't know if you would agree or disagree with this, but a lot of people would say that maybe that was the draft that like shaped the NFL's future.
Could have. Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Marino has that amazing rookie year. Yep. Elway goes on to have his like immaculate career where like, you know, the drive exists because of that, that Jim Kelly takes a team to the 4 straight Super Bowls. Obviously, the second overall pick is one of the greatest running backs of all time.
I mean, my God.
Which
kind of
shaped, that kind of like got the NFL. Because by the time those guys were in their prime, it's 1990. And then here come the Cowboys. And then, I mean, I guess you could say the Steelers in the 70s, but it didn't have that pull that we see today. The mid 80s, baseball still king. Early 90s, mm-hmm. Dallas is doing their thing. 96 to 99, baseball is dominating. And then here come the Patriots. And then here come the Chiefs. And that's
voila, your last 35 years of the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, but there's so many great quarterbacks that were taken, and it kind of did
something. Todd Blackledge, man, out of Penn State.
I mean, he was the best one of the bunch.
Stud.
But, I mean, it's not even just the Hall of Famers. Tony Eason was around for a generation. Ken O'Brien was a great quarterback for the New York Jets that led them to the playoffs, actually led the Jets to the postseason in those years and whatnot. So there were a lot of really good quarterbacks that came out in 1983 and kind of did change the game. Like, John Elway was different. I mean, you didn't see that running quarterback with a freaking machine gun on his arm.
He had the drama,
right?
With being picked on the, you know, the Colts.
The Colts and the not going to the Colts.
Went to the Yankees.
Yeah, and then, yeah, he did. He ended up being a Yankee. I think he may have been an Expo at one point, like Tom Brady was. Jim Kelly obviously revolutionized the game. He was a very mobile-type quarterback, and Dan Marino just put up numbers that nobody had ever seen before. And then, of course, you had Eric Dickerson, and my favorite moment of him is him getting on the show at Radio Row back in the day and ripping Justin Bieber for driving too fast in the neighborhood.
That's awesome.
That's what I knew. Eric Dickerson was my favorite. Screaming about Justin, just grabbed the microphone and started yelling about Justin Bieber driving too fast in the neighborhood. You want to talk about old men? Eric Dickerson complaining about that kind of stuff.
And now Bieber's yelling at everybody else.
I know. Yeah, that's a Bieber, mess, too. What's going on there? Yeah, man, that guy looks terrible. Oh, my goodness.
I hope he finds help.
I do, too. He needs it, man. That's sad.
I like Bieber.
Yeah, big time.
No quarterbacks in 2011. That makes 1983 better. I agree with you, Bob. Christian Ponder, Cam Newton, and Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, that's a wet fart. There's nobody good there.
Cam Newton was a stud for like two or three years.
Yeah, two or 3 years.
You got to have staying power to be considered one of the all-time greats. There's so many people that have these flashes in the pan that we see and whatnot, and we're always like, oh, wow, that guy's great. And then
isn't
you look at
the
it,
NFL
it's like,
in a nutshell?
Yeah, but I think at the quarterback position, like the quarterback position, you have to have staying power to be considered one of the greats of all time. You just do. And the league is set up now for these guys to have staying power. I don't know if you saw the Tre'Davious White story yesterday where he, you know, was a free agent at the end of the season, didn't have a great year last year, told his agent, I'm going nowhere other than Buffalo. And so he signed back with Buffalo for like one more run in the sun. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, that's the guy Buffalo got for Patrick Mahomes. And we're just starting the next chapter of the Patrick Mahomes chapter and seeing where Patrick Mahomes is and his, you know, going into this year. And Tre'Davious White signed with Buffalo basically on a minimum deal to try to get one more run and one more year on his career. And that's the guy you directly traded for Patrick Mahomes. And he got a haircut. And he's ready for his next rodeo. Like, it's no big deal. It's crazy how the quarterback in this league is protected. And if you last a long time and do great things, obviously, that's what you want from your quarterback. And so if you had a flat, like Cam Newton's the biggest flash in the pan there was. He had a couple of good years and that was it. For the most part, he was a colossal failure as the number one overall pick.
Mm.
Agreed.
Okay. I mean, 15-1 season, MVP, went to the Super Bowl. I don't know. That's colossal failure.
That's 1 year, though.
Colossal failure, I think, is like Jamarcus Russell.
Oh, he is a colossal failure. Yeah.
I don't know if I would consider Cam Newton a colossal failure.
That's fair. Colossal failure.
Okay, maybe
strong.
Failure, but I mean, you're the number one overall pick. Like, there are expectations for the number one overall pick. And Cam Newton, I don't think he lived up to him. I mean, the guy quit in the Super Bowl, for God's sakes.
There is evidence of that. But, again, went to a Super Bowl, won an MVP, and had a number one record for his franchise in the history of that franchise, young franchise, but still, I mean, yeesh.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I'm loving it. Well, hello, everybody. Happy Wednesday.
That's right. It is a Wednesday for the Fesco and Dusty weekly poll. I want to let you know this poll is Chiefs draft. Who do you want them to draft? Go to the Fan 965. You'll see the poll question: offensive tackle, wide receiver, or running back.
Or defensive tackle.
Okay, so O-tackle, D-tackle, wide receiver, or running back. That is the poll question today. Coming up on the other side, it's another day.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.